Becoming a well-rounded person in our modern society is no easy task, never mind finding your true purpose in the process. Thus, at School of Human Potential Radio, we invite world-renowned experts for a discussion on how to achieve both and lead a healthy, wealthy, and fulfilling life. Topics are all over the mind, body, and spirit spectrum, and guests range from Lisa Williams to Yakov Smirnoff and everyone in between. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you reach your full potential. Here's your host, Alan Vaisberg.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to the School of Human Potential Radio. I am your host, Alan Vaisberg, and tonight we continue with a wonderful discussion of G.P. Walsh and I about G.P. Walsh's process of inner reconciliation. We welcome you back, and we hope that you've had a wonderful week, and now we're ready to begin yet again. So our guest for the second time in a row is none other than G.P. Walsh, author, speaker, spiritual teacher, energy healer, master coach, and an awesome guy who's been very, very supportive of the things that we're doing. So welcome back, G.P.
Hey, good to be here, Alan. And yes, I'm very, very supportive. I'm just really excited about what you're doing.
Thank you.
It's a great service.
See, we're all reconciled. I think we'll just start with that. For people who may not have had a chance to listen to the first show that we did, let's give them a heads up of the process of inner reconciliation. What is it? How can it be of help to them? Get them warmed up, so to speak, before we get into the really heavy stuff.
Sure. Inner reconciliation, it's a name that's just really kind of stuck. I've been tossing it around for a year, and it just kind of got probably in the last month, it's just was solidified. It was actually my students that said, this has got to be it. You know, this is really, I was still kind of waffling. And so they kind of twisted my arm. And so it became the official title for it. But it's just been something that's been developing over the years. And at the heart and soul of it, I recognized what I thought to be an essential mistake, an essential error, and the whole approach of self-help, personal development, consciousness development, and spirituality. And this was, and what it was this underlying assumption that we were essentially flawed and broken, and that somehow we needed to fix things. We had needed to somehow get fixed. And as a result of that kind of philosophy, everything that's going on inside of us became divided, became polarized between the negative and the positive emotions. You hear all the time about, you know, about letting go of your negative emotions and, you know, and reprogramming yourself, and these negative emotions are interfering with you, attracting things into your life. And as I started looking at it closely, I couldn't find these negative emotions. It was just, all I could find were natural emotions, right? Some were comfortable, some were uncomfortable, but they were all very natural responses to the nervous system reacting to the environment in which it was in. And the more I looked at them, the more I found them to be really just innocent. And yes, there are some patterns that we get into that are less functional than other patterns. But it's not the fault of the emotional system. It's not the fault of the nervous system. And as the closer I looked, I just discovered that the nervous system, being the brilliant mechanism that it is, as you were growing up, found the most appropriate behavior to present to the environment in which you grew up that would guarantee that it got what it needed. You got taken care of, you got some approval, you got, you know, food over your head and or food in your stomach and a roof over your head. And that it did this so well that it became automatic behavior. And as we grew, in that process, I should point out that sometimes in order to do that, because certain behaviors you would exude were disapproved of by your family, your tribe, the people who are responsible for your well-being, if they disapproved of it, that behavior became really dangerous to you. You couldn't let it out, even if it was the very best part of you. And so as a result, our natural innocent expression of who we are as children, which is completely natural, completely innocent, gets polarized. It gets broken into these parts. This is good. This is bad. The fact is they were all natural. Maybe they were inappropriate for a particular moment more than, but more often they just simply conflicted with the way the tribe looked at the world. And so they got characterized as being negative and bad and ugly and sinful and the like, when in fact they were simply natural but didn't fit in that environment. And so I realized that not only were you already complete and perfect right in your essence, but the nervous system had functioned perfectly to protect you, to protect itself, and that energy was still there. And the way to get it to it was to reconcile with the very functions of the nervous system which were keeping it out of sight. And I realized that all the times that my attempts at coaching to give people relief around a certain problem didn't work was when I was trying to force it into letting go rather than invite it to. And ultimately it came down to the simple thing of acceptance. Allow it to be what it is, allow it to serve the function that it is, and reconcile that energy with what you want it to be, rather than try to force it. And I found it would just melt, you know? I mean, there isn't anything in the universe that isn't a sucker for unconditional love. Mm-hmm. We all just melt in the presence of that kind of acceptance. And all of these so-called negative feelings and self-sabotage and unconscious patterns are no different. You provide them an environment of unconditional love, and they simply go, ah, it's safe to come out now. I can drop the behavior. It's that simple. And that entire process of inner reconciliation is nothing but establishing that environment of safety to the degree where the nervous system says, ah, it's safe. I can let this energy come out. And it does. And it's amazing when it happens.
Wow, that's, well, really, really interesting and wonderful in its simplicity.
Yes.
whereas the process itself is not as simple, because you're asking the person to actually let themselves go and really look within. But once they start doing that, that process is really simple, as anything good in life is.
Yeah. The process isn't hard, but we do all have a natural resistance to do that, of course, right?
Yep.
I mean, the energy that, you know, couldn't make it out was suppressed for very good reason. It was dangerous for it to come out.
Right.
And your nervous system, being the smart thing it is, says, I'm not going to show that. I'm going to keep it hidden. And it just keeps keeping it hidden until you show it that it's okay now. It can let down the defense. It can let it out. The danger's past. The war's over.
Yeah, and all of those things are probably affecting your health and energy and vibration and everything else, because that's your programming. Those are your blocks. Once they are released, everything starts flowing naturally.
Naturally, and you find it really is effortless because perfection is your natural state. Happiness is your natural state. Peace is your natural state. Abundance is your natural state. When people talk about, you know, raising your vibration to attract what you want, the highest vibration there is simply being who you are. There isn't any higher vibration than that. And you can't manufacture that. You can't pretend that. You can't con the universe into believing that you just can't. This isn't just behavior modification. It's real inner liberation.
Love it. And tried it, actually, ever since our last conversation. I make it a habit of attempting anything that I find interesting or useful. So after our conversation last Wednesday, I remember a moment distinctly where, you know, negative thoughts came in or something was bugging me, and I stopped. And I invited them in and said, what is your concern? What are you worried about? Had that conversation, saw, said, I accept that, relax, and they went away. So, and it was really as easy as that. because you either try to push that down and all of that stuff keeps bubbling up until it bursts out in the rage or stress or any other symptoms, or you can let it out, allow it to say what it wants to say, and then it's going to go away on its own.
It is. Remember, its job is to keep you safe.
Right.
And so it's going to do whatever it can to get your attention. If you just keep saying be quiet and go away or refuse to listen to it, it actually feels more distress. It gets more aggressive because now it feels even more in danger because you're not listening to the warning signs. But if you do, it says, oh, good, the boss heard me. I'm done. I can just go back to monitoring the environment.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have to decide even how to deal with the danger. It just has to report it. Yeah. You're the one who has to deal with it. Believe me, if the danger is really imminent, it's going to be dealt with before you even are aware of it. The nervous system just does it. I was completely distracted driving the car, coming home from some place. Somebody was on Skype, and I was completely distracted, and I looked up and realized the car had just stopped about an inch behind the car in front of me, and I realized it after it had happened.
Yeah.
And I went, "Who's driving the car?" And they said, "Thank you very much. We are."
Yeah. Nice. See, maybe that's what Google is doing. Very, very cool.
It was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, because your system is designed for that. I remember walking. Yeah, I was walking in a store. Maybe a year ago, I was walking in a store, looking up. It's a grocery store. Just looking up, thinking of something. Next thing I know, I'm on the ground. So somehow there was water in front of me, which I didn't see because I was looking up, and I slipped. And I'm sure that was very interesting in flight, but I slipped and fell. But the way that I fell was that I somehow fell on my side with my elbow cushioning the blow. I had no issues whatsoever. I got up, laughed at myself for doing it, and went away. Then thinking that, I have no idea how I ended up here. I wasn't trying to land a specific way. The body knows what it's doing.
Yes, it does. It is remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. I run out of superlatives.
Well, let's thank the body and listen to it, and that's part of the process. Any examples that you have had with the people who are trying or actually learning this particular method?
Oh yeah. I mean, lots of them. There's one I had today. He called me because I did worked with somebody on something yesterday, and this guy's just been really had a heavy time. And during the session, we encountered that he really had this deeply held belief that he had to work really hard, and it didn't really matter how hard he worked, he really didn't deserve what he wanted to get.
Mm.
And that was the energy that was going on inside there. And as we began to work through, and I gave him some permission to release his desires, there was this conflict that came up. There was this energy that says, if you free up your desires, you're going to become a sociopath. You're going to become horrible. You will be uncontrollable. You'll be eating dolphins. You'll be killing babies. And so I said, okay, step back for a sec, because he was so identified with that. I said, okay, picture that. Picture that energy that's saying that. Instead of just saying it's you, I feel this way, step back and see if you can come up with an image that fits that. And here was this stoic knight. This picture immediately appeared. He was kind of this knight. He's the kind of guy that wears burlap underwear and lives in a monk cell, right? I mean, he's nothing but duty and doing stuff right, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, now let's speak to the desire. And desire was the golem, from The Hobbit, this ugly, creature was just, you know,
my precious.
He was dirty and ugly and just this horrible slimy little thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we began the process of asking desire what it wanted, and it was really hard for it to actually kind of admit, right? And then we finally got to something, so I had him turn over to the knight that was guarding everything, and I said, "Is that okay that he wants that? He wants a little bit more freedom there." And after yes, that's okay. Suddenly, there was some desire that this other guy, this other part, could agree with. And little by little, those desires began to grow. And this knight started looking more and more haggard and tired. These images are happening spontaneously. I didn't say anything to this. He's just telling me what's happening as we're reconciling between the energies. Until finally, I said, "Ask the knight if he'd like a day off." And he said, before the words could come out of my mouth, the knight was packing his bag and getting on the horse.
Wow.
And as the knight rode away, I said, "Turn back to the golem now. What is he?" He says, "Oh my God, he's a white knight. He's got long blonde hair. And when I was a little kid, I had long blonde hair."
Hmm.
And as the knight got further away, this character got bigger and bigger and bigger and more energetic. And he called me today, said, "I just had the best day of my life. Everything looks beautiful. I feel playful. I started a new script for a movie. It was like this total freedom." And the knight, the knight who had been so pressured trying to force down desire, his job was simply to maintain integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's going to maintain integrity. He's still there, right? Yep, he's maintaining integrity. So if you do mess up, if you really do step over the line and become a hedonist jerk, he's going to step in, right? Yes.
Yeah.
He has permission to step in, right? Yeah, you don't want to become a hedonist jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Right, of course not. Good. So he can just be over there and monitor the horizon. And in the meantime, we can just let all of this happen. So the energies, notice, I didn't force anything to happen. I literally reconciled two points of view. And in so doing, both got transformed. They both transformed into their natural function. And suddenly this guy had a juice for life that he hasn't felt in years.
Amazing.
Yes, it was stunning. Yeah, it was stunning. And it took all of an hour and a half.
Well, that is fantastic, and that leads very nicely into the next part of our discussion. When we return from the break, we will continue talking to GP and asking questions of reconciliation and what happens if you are an empath.
Cool.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you need help getting free from your past in order to clearly see the present so you can set your course and live your essence, I've got great news for you. Radio talk show host, author, inspirational speaker, and life purpose coach Alan Vaisberg is waiting to help you recalibrate your life. At recalibrateyourlife.com, you'll find the 5 simple steps Alan will lead you through to help you reach the place in life that has been eluding you. Restore, renew, and recalibrate today at recalibrateyourlife.com.
Are you tired of all of the negativity in children's fiction? Does your child suffer from night terrors or frequent bad dreams? Do you wish there was a series for your child to read that is fun and inspirational? The Wishflower Field, Marie's Triumph, is a fanciful book that not only entertains, but builds inner strength. Join the many that have seen the difference this positive book has made in the way their children handle fear. The Wishflower Field is truly a series that appeals to all ages and empowers within. Visit thewishflowerfield.com for your copy today. That's thewishflowerfield.com.
Welcome back to the School of Human Potential Radio, where we are talking about inner reconciliation, with G.P. Walsh. This is a live show, so if you want to call in and ask any questions of G.P. or myself, please feel free to do so at 888-429-5471. G.P., before I get to the empaths, I wanted to follow up on the last story, which I found incredible and beautiful and very, very interesting. The person, when the knight showed up, the original one, you know, when you had the knight and the golem, was there any part of you or any part of him that started saying, oh, that could have been a past life? Or you just continued with it and see where it went with it?
Yeah, you know what? I used to think I was really smart. You know, I studied all this stuff. I could read people really well. You know, I'm a bit empathic. I can feel what people are feeling. I was very intuitive as to where to go. The more I became really enmeshed in just listening to the energy and letting it speak to me, the more humbled I got. And so it's not necessary to determine if it's this life or a past life. Or if it's just an image that that this system is creating in order to communicate. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when you really look at it, it's almost impossible to actually historically substantiate any of it.
Right.
And it's not necessary for the process. It's been clear to me. I'm convinced of past lives, not because I have any religious or spiritual or philosophical belief in them, but because I've just seen the phenomena and it's told me. And it was so clear that the trauma that somebody was suffering from wasn't in this life. Mm-hmm. But again, the energy revealed that to me. It told me. Sometimes I'll ask this particular thing if it's this life or past one. And
I
go, oh. It's a pastor. And it'll answer. This is what's so remarkable. It's so obvious. You talk to it. It answers. This is, you know, these energies. Remember, the human body is made up of 100 trillion cells. That's a lot of cells. But we think of it very mechanistically. Each one of those cells is actually a living being. You know, there are times single-celled animals were all there were in the ocean. There's still single-celled animals that live in the ocean. And over the process of time, these single cells joined together, specialized, and they each began to share jobs until they could form these larger organisms. But they're still living beings. The energies that make up this spiritual plane, if you want to call it, or this emotional plane, are living beings. Now, I don't want to make it feel that weird, because it actually segues nicely into the discussion about empathics, because it is all an aspect of you, right? Mm-hmm. But especially in the beginning, when parts of us are suppressed, when parts of us just have to be hidden, there is a disassociation that takes place that makes them behave as if they weren't you. And what happens in the reconciliation is that the energies become increasingly integrated into you, and that sense of separation becomes less and less until you see it simply as an aspect of yourself. But the important part of this is that during the process of reconciling with it, it will reveal to you, once it knows it's safe, it'll just lay out the entire story, what the trauma was, how it happens, where it happens, who is involved, everything it needs to reveal in order for it to process it so that it can release the energy and know freedom. And it knows what to do. Your job is to provide the environment. It'll do the rest.
I love it. I know. I'm not adding a terrible amount to this discussion. I'm just in awe and thinking and getting visuals of the process.
And nice.
Going back to the previous discussion, I've mentioned that the idea appeals to me so much because of the discussion of what God is. It is the energy that went to all other energies and said, I can contain you within myself. So God is all of the energies combined. And when you said that there are 10 trillion cells, was it 100 trillion 100, cells?
100 trillion,
100 trillion cells, and all of them are their own living organisms. That is yet another representation of the same idea.
Yes, it
that
is.
We who were created like God are many energies, many living things. within ourselves.
We are singular and we are one at the same time. We are individual and yet we are universal at the same time. It is the paradox of spirituality. We are one and we are many.
Yep. Love it. Okay. Let's get to empaths.
Yeah.
I'm an empath. It took me a while to actually diagnose that. And it sounds like a disease.
That's right. I'm sure there's a drug for that.
Yeah. Not one I want to take anyway. For those who don't know who empaths are, watch Heroes and you'll find out. Or just think about yourself when you're going to Walmart, and I'll pick on the store for no particular reason. But when you go to Walmart, note how you're feeling before you go to Walmart and then how you feel 15 or 20 minutes after it. And then you'll know very much if you're an empath or not. If you walk in happy and you walk out agitated and drained, that means you're picking up other people's energies. If you are in a room with somebody, you're talking to them, you're having a conversation, and you start picking up on their accents and mannerisms, that doesn't just mean that you're a good actor. That means that you're an empath. So for those people who are picking up on other people's energies, who can feel whatever is happening, by definition, they are getting that information, those emotions, those thoughts, those fears, and other patterns. When you're dealing with this process of inner reconciliation and you're an empath, how do you know if you're dealing with your emotion, your thought, or somebody else's? And as I'm asking that question based on your previous example, I think that answers it already. It'll tell you.
Yeah. Now, once you realize, boy, there's so many layers to this and it's so beautiful. The reality is as you're talking before, we really all are one energy. We're all different faces on the same soul. So it's actually more natural to feel what other people are feeling than not. We actually have to build an artificial barrier for that to happen. But yet, within this oneness, there still exists individuality. There exists, you know, the aspect of you is different than the aspect that is me. Mm-hmm. And that's part of how it works in this constant shifting thing. It's one and many at the same time. It's total paradox. Your mind will never get it, so don't try. And so it is very natural to feel what other people are feeling. And what happens very often in the practitioner and client relationship, the facilitator and the client, is that the facilitator will feel. It happens to me all the time. I'll just feel something. Oh, something's happened in your solar plexus, right? Oh, yeah, there's a pain. I mean, I feel it. You know, energies tend to connect. Remember, the energy of the body, the nervous system, is really miscalled. It's way more than we think it is.
Right.
And the energy of your body is connected to the energy of anybody. It doesn't even matter if they're in another galaxy, okay? Mm-hmm. The connection is there. It's instantaneous. You know, it's kind of like subspace in Star Trek, right? Where everything could travel instantaneously. It is completely and totally connected. So one of the beautiful things about being a facilitator of inner reconciliation is that the facilitator can hold the space of safety for that energy, even if the person can't. I find myself, I talk directly to the energy, because it knows that I can create the safe environment. And it actually helps the person who is still kind of resistant to it. They don't know how to do it yet. I can do it for them. And the only reason I can do that, it's not there's any special power. It's because the energy is already connected. It senses when there's an environment of safety. And it responds to it. Just like any, I mean, we all respond to love. I mean, really? Mm-hmm. Come on. Yeah. You know, we all melt when we're accepted. I mean, and what do all of us want more than to simply be accepted for who we are right now? That energy is the environment in which this works. And so that communication happens on every level. It's physical, it's verbal, it's thoughts, it's feelings, it's sensations, it's emotions, it's energetic patterns, it's memories, it's pictures. All of that is available for the energy system to communicate, and it will communicate to whoever will listen. Now, if you are an empath and you're new at it, It does take some training and some mentoring by somebody who's been around for a while. So you learn how to discern what's yours and what isn't. Because when you don't know at first, it can be very disorienting. Mm-hmm. And you can actually take a lot of stuff on yourself that isn't your stuff.
Yep.
Right? So, if you suspect you might be empathic, I urge you to seek out people who are. Alan is one of them.
And, hello.
and who can help you sort it out. Once you get it sorted out, it becomes an incredible power. I mean, your ability to heal and facilitate for others goes through the roof. But before that, it can be kind of intimidating. So I urge, like any other natural ability, it needs to be honed and protected. It needs to be protected while it grows.
Yeah, for everybody, just in terms of tricks, the latest thing, I don't want to call it a trick, it's a method. The latest thing that came to me as I was talking to my guides, they've mentioned something that made me laugh. They said, you've spent a lifetime processing all of these emotions and working through them and understanding where they come from and thoughts and emotions, and most of them were not even yours. You're not as complex as you think. I'm like, well, that explains it. Okay. And they gave a very specific method, which I began to use, and it's working wonders. So if you're an empath or if you're not, this still will be of use to you. What you can do is a number of times throughout the day, say something like this. I choose to feel only my emotions. I choose to hear only my thoughts. I choose to sense only my energy. As I'm saying this right now, I kind of feel the walls are pushing outwards and I don't have this baggage of carrying around with me. I know that at any moment I can connect and sense the other energies if I choose to, or I can have that communication with my guides or somebody else if I choose to. But for the time being, I am me. It's my thoughts, it's my emotions. I don't need to feel anybody else's, nor is it my business unless I'm asked to do so. Yes. Once I started doing that and putting that into practice, the stress levels, the constant back and forth of the nervous system, that all subsided. Yeah. I found myself much more at peace in a relaxing mode because I am me and I know what it feels like to be me. Mm. So
sweet.
And that is your, it's a part of the process that you're discussing as well, of inner reconciliation, of knowing, is this me? What is that thought? What do you have to say? Oh, it's not me. Okay, thank you. You can go now. Right?
It's a brilliant observation. I'm glad you mentioned it for people who don't consider themselves to be empathic, because everybody is more empathic than they think they are. And during any given day, there's all sorts of thoughts and feelings that go through your system that aren't yours, that are just, that you're just, the nervous system is kind of like a guitar string. It's going to vibrate in sympathy, with whatever's in the environment.
True. Yeah. Right?
And so you want to make sure that it's your hand that's plucking it.
Yeah.
And learn the difference in the sound that it makes when somebody else's hand plucks it.
Very true. And there's so, no... Sorry, go ahead, please.
Just be aware. Everyone should really be aware that there's a lot of liberation in realizing that not every thought and feeling you have during the day is actually yours.
Yes. Yeah. And it is... It is such a relief.
It really is, yes.
Yeah. Because you start thinking of, why am I thinking this? Why would I ever think that way? Or look at the situation from that perspective. That's not me. What is that about? And once you start understanding it, you're saying, okay, I know it's not me.
It isn't me.
I can continue on. Yeah, it's and it gets even more interesting, and empaths out there who are listening will understand that too. You look in the mirror at yourself and you're seeing somebody else.
Yes.
And that freaks you out at first. And then you're like, oh, okay, pick that up, need to release. Okay, God, bye. Thank you. Here you are again. Nice to see you again,
Good
Alan.
Good to see you. Welcome home.
Yeah. It's the weirdest, oddest thing, which, again, can be the most beautiful thing because feeling somebody else's energy or their emotions, you can really help somebody.
Oh, yes.
But you certainly don't want to be in that mode where you're receptive all the time. It's akin to the Superman, latest Superman movie, where he was learning to be on Earth, and everything, every emotion, every feeling, every sense was hyperactive. That's what a lot of the empaths feel like. Everything is just on high alert, and it's not you. So just relax.
Right. It's not you, and not everything needs your attention. You know,
true.
even when you are able to discern it, there still might be, well, everything, I need to help others. No, actually.
Yeah.
It's not everything is your responsibility. And the beautiful thing is just providing that space of openness and acceptance resolves things without you even having to do anything.
Yeah.
Being in that state where that you're just open, the heart's just open, and you just allow it to come and pass through without judgment, is a healing influence in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of feeling, I feel some people right now are listening and asking the question of how do you know if a thought that you have in your mind is your thought, if an emotion is your emotion? How would you answer that question?
Well, first off, I would say that it takes a little bit of experience, right? Ultimately, in order to be able to answer that question, you need to know who you are.
Thank you.
The spiritual journey is the answer to that question. This discovery of who you actually are becomes the most important thing. It is the most important thing, but it just adds some more credence to it because you can't answer that question until you actually know who you are. Once you do, to be able to discern what qualities, what characteristics are obviously are expressive of you and what aren't, it's obvious. There isn't any question anymore. So if something to say, which is this thought mine or is it not, the real question is, who am I?
Right.
What do I actually want? What's important to me? Right in this moment, what's going on inside of me? And of course, that turns the attention in the right place. And doing that, opening yourself up to that, you can actually hear the energy that genuinely is you. And it will identify itself as such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's that which makes your heart sing.
Yes.
That feels so true, that reverberates throughout every part of you. You know who you are, just like you know what is the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do. We all know.
Yes.
You know. But talking to yourself and going through that whole process, I'm sure that some people will look at you and think you're a schizophrenic.
And they'd be right.
Yes. I think all of us are to a certain extent anyway.
It's really been known for a long time that the various energies that make up the human personality are quite diverse. Mm-hmm. You know, schizophrenia is actually an inability to accept them. To the degree that the conflict is so severe that a person becomes dysfunctional. And the schizophrenic either is switching personalities all the time, or they're holding on so tightly to one. They're like monochrome. They're like black and white people.
Right.
Because it's the only way they can deal, because they won't let the energy flow. And so they don't know who they are. They get lost in that. In the real extreme cases, it becomes multiple personalities where the various energies come up and they literally cut off communication between the others. So you just, who was it? I don't know who they were. And I had a schizophrenic mother, and I'd watch that actually happen. You know, she would switch sides in the middle of a conversation. I have no memory that she did.
Wow.
So when it gets extreme like that, but what causes it the heart and soul of it. We all have these energies. It becomes schizophrenic when there's no willingness to accept the energy as it is.
Right.
The more accepting of it is, the more freedom it has to move, the more natural it can be, which of course means the more positive and progressive it's going to be, and the more it begins to move closer, become more intimate, and eventually fully integrate.
Interesting. Have you had any experience of working and trying this method of inner reconciliation with somebody who would be on that end of the spectrum?
I've had a couple of times that I have worked with people who are very extreme. Now, I'm not a licensed therapist or a psychologist
Sure.
or anything,
Right.
anything like that. And so what I did when I worked with folks like that, it was very informal, and I did it simply because nobody else would.
Right.
Right. They didn't have any money. They were on Section 8 houses. They were a total mess. They just needed somebody to talk to. And for the most part, the best I could do was provide an atmosphere in which when they were with me, they had a certain amount of relief.
Okay.
But, you know, in some cases, they're very extreme. It could take a lot of time and effort to get to get through it, plus some support groups and other stuff. I mean, I don't want to undermine how deeply wounded people can become.
Right. Right?
This is the way to heal it, but I don't want to give anybody the impression that it's always going to be instantaneous. You know, we've all suffered really deep wounds, if not in this life, in a past one. Right? Wounds that have affected us for a very, very long period of time. The amount of unconditional love, the amount of acceptance, the amount of tenderness, the amount of safety that needs to be surrounded, that energy, in order for that defensive wall to finally come down, can be quite a lot.
Right.
You can hear when I say this, there's a tenderness that is required here that is... That is, it's the essence of it. There's just a tenderness and a forgiveness and an acceptance, because it's the only thing that's it's going to get through it. You know, I've had similar experiences working with combat veterans who have PTSD, who've had those. They can trust no one, right? I mean, they're guys for 40 years that haven't actually been able to sleep unless they're sitting in a chair with their clothes on.
Wow.
I mean, they're so stuck in that energy of defense. And, you know, some of them had some very quick healings. Others, you know, took just one little step at a time. One guy I worked with, geez, just the sweetest guy, Vietnam War veteran. He couldn't go shopping except in the middle of the night because he was so afraid of what he might do in a crowd. He was just afraid that his training was going to kick in. He was going to go nuts. He was going to hurt somebody because he would think he was actually being threatened by an enemy. And that's the level of training they were in. And remember, these guys are under constant physical threat of death for years at a time.
Yeah.
Right? There's no letting up. So the nervous system says, this is reality. And that particular guy... You know, we just worked on it. I was using EFT mainly with him because he just, it was inner reconciliation. I didn't use the term with him. It was just simply, could we let this energy come out? Okay, what's it feeling? What's going on? And it started just very gradually. I had him to, you know, go out to your car to go to the store in the afternoon. Just go to the car.
Mm-hmm.
And before you get into the car, just ask how you're feeling. See what's going on. And if there's an objection, just tap with it. Say, okay, what's the objection? And if it's too much, just go back in the house. Right? And if it's okay, you have permission to move on, get in the car. See what happens. Pull out of your driveway. Go drive by the place, but don't pull in. Then go into the parking. Finally, the guy went to a movie in the daytime.
Wow.
One little step at a time. He hadn't been to a movie in the daytime in 40 years.
Wow.
So it works on extreme cases, but it, as I said, unconditional love can heal anything.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And really, all the more we do this for ourselves, the more it opens up our own energy to be able to hold the unconditional love that allows it to affect others as well.
Yeah. I can relate to a certain point, and I am not a combat veteran. I've never been to war. Thank God for that. But in martial arts training, I've worked with people who have been in Afghanistan, who have been trained in the elite special forces. Mm-hmm. And talking to them, they're saying that when that mode goes in, they're not looking at you as a person. They're looking at you and they see the different areas that they can kill you in at any moment.
Yes.
That's how the training is. So they are afraid to get into that mode because yes. then you won't stop it. So I can certainly relate to some of that.
Yeah. And I mean, it just shows how effective the nervous system is at doing what it was trained to do. And it's going to do it dutifully till it realizes it doesn't have to anymore. And yeah, it's a horrible thing that these guys go through because they're trained and they have to be that way because it is a matter of life and death.
Right? Yep.
But there's no untraining for them.
Yeah,
you know, at the end of that, there's no process by which they're brought back to a level of functioning that works in the regular society, and so they're completely outside of society because they're terrified of what they might do.
And there should be a process.
Oh, absolutely! It's just totally irresponsible that we do this to people. If we put them in that situation to protect us, protect the country, we owe it to them to go through all the process to deprogram and bring them out of that so they can function a normal life again.
Even the people who are coming out of jail, don't they, there are halfway houses available. Why don't we do the same thing for combat veterans?
Yeah, I don't know. Don't get me started.
Okay, let's...
don't get me started. Having worked with these guys, these are the most beautiful, gentle people you'd ever want to meet. It's tragic, but we can all do something about it.
You know? Good.
You know, we can all become healers.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue talking to GP, and we may bring up another topic that we'll see, because it's getting heavy enough as it is, so we'll find out. Stay with us. Hi, I'm Alan Weisberg with Recalibrate Your Life, and I help people like you find their soul purpose, align with it, and gain the balance that you seek. But don't take my word for it. Take my clients.
Alan, what can I say but wow? I've always had so many questions on whether I'm on the right path, am I fulfilling my life's mission? These are questions that I assume have been pondered by everyone since the beginning of time. However, the gift that you possess has helped me immensely. It confirmed my need to be artistic, my need to help others so much. I can't even explain the experience. It confirmed so much more than I can describe in this small note of appreciation. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak, allowing me to release my inner thoughts, and most importantly, for confirming and leading me to what I always believed but was not confident enough to believe in. Thank you. Trust me, this was hard for me to do, but I do know that God has blessed us with various gifts, and you have an amazing gift. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You, like all of my clients, deserve to live in alignment with your soul purpose. To begin your journey, visit recalibrateyourlife.com or call 800-323-1619. And don't hesitate. Recalibrate. Becoming a well-rounded person in our modern society is no easy task. Never mind finding your true purpose in the process. Thus, at School of Human Potential Radio, we invite world-renowned experts for a discussion on how to achieve both and lead a healthy, wealthy, and fulfilling life. Topics are all over the mind, body, and spirit spectrum, and guests range from Lisa Williams to Yakov Smirnoff and everyone in between. Listen live, call in, and allow us to help you reach your full potential. And welcome back to the School of Human Potential radio program, where we're talking to GP Walsh about the process of inner reconciliation. GP, before we left off, we were talking about the vets and what these poor guys go through in terms of coming back into the world and being able to come back into the world. And while we can all relate to that at some level, I think what we don't realize is that our nervous system, even though we haven't been at war, because we're subjected to similar things all to varying degree, obviously, because we watch the news, which talks about somebody being killed. You know, just turn on the news in Chicago, somebody's unfortunately getting shot or stabbed every night. They're telling you where not to go. They're telling you there's danger here, there's danger here. We watch television and our favorite shows, and I'll use myself as an example, of I watch and I love spy shows. Mm-hmm. So in all of these shows, I am conditioned that if they're driving in a vehicle, I already get myself ready because I'm ready for another vehicle that's going to be hitting this one from the side at any moment.
At any moment,
that
yes.
is not a healthy thing for you. So that is something that all of us should start removing. And one of my mentors, Lisa Williams, the first thing that she says is remove the drama from your life. And television certainly provides a lot of that drama that's very unnecessary.
Yeah, it is very unnecessary. And there's only, I know on one level we know it's just entertainment. It's not really happening. There's a certain kind of thrill about it.
Yep. But
on another level, the nervous system is being trained. If you have, if there's enough of this consistently fed, it becomes the reality of the environment as far as your nervous system is concerned. And look, we all have a degree of PTSD, you know. Every child, when it's growing up, learns how to read the environment for danger. And depending on how severe the threat is in your environment, for some abusive kids, I mean, it is PTSD. It is a war zone. Okay? Mm-hmm. For others, it's not so intense that it becomes like they could be diagnosed as that. But we all have it to a certain degree because we're always, you know, there's always parts of us that are not acceptable to our tribe. And therefore, we're always on the lookout to make sure that those parts don't come out. Mm-hmm. That's a stressful situation. Now, the nervous system by design, as you pointed out, is looking for danger. That's what it was designed to do. If it knows that it can handle the danger, the environment is stable, it can relax, right? Mm-hmm. But what we're doing is feeding it a constant picture of danger, as if danger was constantly present. It's in the news, it's in everywhere, because they know, and they do it on purpose because they know that when you're afraid, they get more of your attention.
Yep.
Fear makes you focus your attention. So it's really a manipulation to get your more attention so they can feed you the commercial messages. It's a terrible manipulation, but don't get me started. Anyway.
That's anyway. The next week's show.
No. Yeah. Anyway, we have to realize that when we are constantly feeding ourselves these pictures of things that are going wrong, things that could be bad, impending doom, you know, terrorists hiding in the closet, We are raising the level of stress of the system. We're raising the system to a state of alert that's completely artificial.
Yep.
That level of danger doesn't really exist. It's being artificially created. And of course, your nervous system can't really tell the difference. Mm-hmm. For the most part, many of us consciously can't tell the difference. Except at the moment when I turn on the TV or I put that movie in that I'm going to watch that's going to have the exciting thriller thing going on. At that moment, I know I'm about to get completely absorbed and I'm going to start the process of training the system. I would really highly urge people, you know, I'm not a censor. I'm not trying to tell people what they should watch entertaining or not. But I would actually encourage people to, after you see something, without judging, without an agenda, without anything, just kind of step back and go, how did that make me feel? Do I feel more at peace? Do I feel more safe? Do I feel more stressed? Do I feel a heightened sense of alertness? And then ask, is this really the state of the emotional state I want to put myself in?
Yeah.
and then answer the question honestly. Mm-hmm. And I think 9 times out of 10, you're gonna realize that it isn't worth it.
Yep.
And frankly, if you just turn all that stuff off, when occasionally you do watch something just for the sure thrill of it, mm-hmm. then it is entertainment because the system can tell the difference now.
Right.
It knows how to get back to its stable state, which is relaxed. You know, I may be an extreme example, but when I was living in New York, I had my TV I had from California that I moved out to New York. I moved to New York in 1994. In 1996, I realized that I hadn't had the TV on since it arrived.
Nice.
And I said, what the, and I gave it away.
Very interesting. In my case, I love television. I love watching
a lot
shows,
of people do.
But even I have adjusted. And I don't watch Revenge anymore or Revolution or any of the other shows of its type because it's that constant stress. So what I watch now is Hollywood Game Night or Mindy Project or things that make me laugh, that make me relax, that make me get into a nicer state in terms of the vibrational sense. That's my view on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if you do watch a show that's like a real thriller or something, it's cool. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you give yourself an hour of quiet or meditation or something before you go to sleep.
Right. Yeah.
Don't take those images to bed with you, mm-hmm. because they will persist. That energy actually will disturb your sleep.
Yep.
I always end my night with meditation.
Very nice. Well, and let's end this night with a message to all to know themselves, to understand their thoughts, their feelings, their emotions, to accept yourself for who you are, and work on the process of inner reconciliation. GP, thank you so much for yet again coming on and continuing our discussion. It is a
Anytime,
pleasure
my
to
friend.
Have you. Thank you. Everybody, have a wonderful evening. God bless you. Be safe. Be less worried and be at peace. Good night.
Thank you once again for listening to School of Human Potential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the program and are inspired to make a positive change in your life. For more information about the school, please like our Facebook page and visit www.schoolhp.com. To sign up for a session with Alan, please visit www.recalibrateyourlife.com or call 1-800-323-1619.